Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Africa, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is August 6, 2016, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. Welcome to the show, everyone, this evening. It's a pleasure to have everyone with us. There are several people, many people, who have been with us many times before, and there are also some new people who have joined us tonight. And I want to give a special an especially warm welcome to the leader of this teaching who is with us every week, who talks not just about the basic fundamentals of the teaching, but who talks about some deeper esoteric aspects. So every show is different. We never do the same thing, except for we cover some of the very fundamental issues, but we also add on to that. And Srikadaji, I'd like to welcome you. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, and I did not give your title, and I apologize for that, but Srikadaji is the Mahaji and the 973rd living Sri Ocean Master in a long line of unbroken masters. And Srikadaji, I'm sure people are curious about how you received that title. But I'm probably jumping ahead. Before that, maybe we could talk a little bit about what this spiritual teaching is about and why people are interested in being part of this teaching and what it gives to an individual by doing that.
All right. Before I answer those questions, even in the title, Living Sri Ocean Master, we can see what they classify as a foreign term, foreign word, meaning that we see the word Srosha, which Srosha would be very foreign to, to a neophyte or a beginner, because they would probably have never heard that term before. In the English language, there are no SR words anyway, starting with the word the two letters S and R. So the word Srosha in Akita means spirit, and it's actually the origin of that word. It's the derivation of the word spirit. The word spirit comes from the word spiral, which is an upward derivation of spirit. And then spiral actually comes from directly from Srosha. So if you look at the Srosha symbol, it looks like the top of a spinning funnel, like a funnel, and that represents how soul is depicted on the inner planes. There's a little funnel or a big funnel, whichever it's a macro-micro issue, then the spirit is a spinning top, so to speak. So the idea of the Srosha back in ancient times started with the actual movement of this spirit, and then you were able to put a distinction or a term upon it by looking down upon it, and it looked like this Sra Osha in the spinning. So we actually have Sra, which is the higher Sanskrit word for sound, and you have Sha, which is a higher Sanskrit word for light. So Sra Osha, therefore, is a higher Sanskrit word, which is the language of a Saker. So we use higher Sanskrit words that would be categorically called a foreign word. They use the word foreign, and that is the language of Akita. Akita itself is also a sacred word or a higher Sanskrit. It means Akita, Sarkadola, or sacred. So the terms are actually used because they have a higher vibration. They have a higher vibratory current, and you can feel the energy of spirit within that terminology, whereas other languages are based upon logic and what you can understand, the higher Sanskrit's based upon what you can feel in the spirit. So that's very interesting, I think. Don't you think, Leslie, in terms of a language of feeling versus a language of thought or logic, per se? So that's actually probably new this week in terms of the deeper esoteric aspects of those things. Go ahead if you want to.
Yeah, I appreciate that description because I think that's very important for people, because what makes it an individual path is that it is a language of feeling and a path of experience. because everyone's experiences are not always the same, and also how we interpret those experiences are not always the same. So the feeling of it is what's most important. So the knowingness that we gain by being on this path is a feeling of knowingness.
Yes, expressing so feeling. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And we don't have to be...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish what you're saying.
No, it's all right. It's like the idea, as I said, is that it really is a path of how you feel, because the essence of man as spirit is mostly about that. Or mostly, it's not necessarily emotion. Emotion would be accelerated motion to the point of inertia where it's going too fast and it can't get stopped. But what we talk about, active really means equilibrium, determined self. It means we're attempting to gain balance. And in that process, we have a definition, the ancient science of Sahaji. And Sahaji is this movement of this spirit, this individualized spirit within us, this little funnel that at the very top of it looks like Sarosha, which is, ironically, a very powerful word for spirit. And therefore, when we talk about the basic fundamental of the definition of Akta being the ancient science of Sahaji, then we are talking about this movement of the individual spirit, this essence that we hear as the sound current. We hear this Rosha as a sound. We also see it as light, but it's an experience of actually hearing the sound current. So when we talk about hearing the sound current, that's an ecstatic experience for the individual. It brings a tremendous spiritual ecstasy, because now you can actually feel this within, and that is very uplifting. And that's the idea of uplifting, to move towards the higher planes of spirit beyond the fourth realm. The fourth realm would be the mental plane. So we want to move beyond that mental plane into the higher worlds of Sarosha, we call it, the God worlds of Sarosha. And that's the fifth plane and higher. The first plane of liberation is the fifth dimension. And that means that there are four lower planes. This is part of the basic fundamentals of Akata, that one is attempting to negotiate through these lower worlds as spirit, as an individualized light and sound that we learn how to contact and listen to and dwell in. And then we want to move in spirit to this higher dimension. We want to get to the four lower planes. That's a tremendous undertaking, because they're so vast. They're very huge. If people that know anything about physical science, we know how vast the physical plane is. Actually, in the Sarvadas, which is the science of Akata, in the book, the holy book, the Hajis, it's not a religion, but we do have that particular word, per se, because it is holy in terms of special, call it special. And in that science book, they talk about, is there something there by a window or a door or a siren or something that's coming across?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, can
I
get away
from
the
window. Yeah, I can try to move away from the window. I apologize.
But yes.
There's a siren.
Not yes, we try to get
the
sirens
window,
on the show.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
So then the physical plane is really... 10 to the 60th, you have 60 zeros, kilometers, that's the actual size of it. And that, therefore, we know it's vast, we know that it's very large. And because of that, one can get lost in these arenas. And the three higher planes above that are exponentially higher. There's a zero on higher than each plane. And therefore, you're talking about a vigintillion kilometers to the soul plane. And we actually know the distance. That's really interesting. But you can see how vast and large that is, and therefore it's very far. But then we talk about Sahaji. When we go in spirit, you can go very quickly. You can be there immediately in soul. It's kind of like light speed, if you will. And then one can actually be on the fifth plane when they listen to their sound current. So that negotiation's done. It's already done in spirit. But then we have to explain in Akata what is going on with that. Because when one doesn't listen to sound current, they're dwelling in a lower plane, dwelling either in the physical, astral, causal, or mental planes, immediately. It's a shift, a very quick shift to do that. And one can learn the practice of Sahaji when they have the out-of-body experience. We know it can be tenuous. It can be instantly there, and you can have a thought and move quickly away from that within nanoseconds, even faster, which is a billionth of a second, but even faster than that. See, so then what that means is if we don't dwell upon those higher planes, then we create phantom bodies, like physical bodies, in each one of these planes quickly. So that's why we learn how to do what is known as a daily contemplation, 30-minute contemplation, that helps us slow down the inside so that we can actually see again our inner experiences. Because everything's jumbled up and going very fast for an individual. And what happens is we need to be able to observe so that you can actually control these inner experiences instead of being controlled by the lower ruler, which is called the Kalinaranjan. The Kalinaranjan is the ruler of the lower worlds, and he controls this unawareness, this lack of focus that people have. So in one sense of the word, an additional thing, we probably have talked about it in and around it, but contemplation helps one to enhance their attention level so they can see better on the inner planes, as I said, to be able to negotiate to the higher realms. So, again, if you each week you take us through a contemplation exercise, a huge chant, and maybe explain the huge chant a little bit, and take us through that, if you would. But that would be very nice. Thank you.
Of course. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole 30-minute contemplation, because that's actually what we do on a daily basis, is do a contemplation for 30 minutes. But during the show, I'm just going to take you through a brief huge chant, which is sort of the beginning of the contemplation, but you'll get the feeling of what it's like, because the hue is a very, very high vibration, and it comes off the God plane, and it actually is another name for God, and it's just spelled H-U. So we chant that for a few moments during the huge chant. We can also use that to chant during the contemplation that we're doing 30 minutes each day. And the 30 minutes is an important time for it, because that 30 minutes spans a 24-hour period. So it gives us protection, balance during that period. And also doing the huge chant, the contemplation, helps facilitate our spiritual unfoldment. So it speeds it up, gets us closer to attaining our goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery much faster. So it's not to say that you can't unfold by not doing the spiritual exercise, but it will be a much slower process. And by tuning in to the Sarosha during this period of time, you do get a great deal of clarity that you might not get otherwise. It's a very balancing factor, very important. So during, and also I just want to explain that when you do these contemplations, you might have different types of experiences. So one is you're going to hear the sound of spirit, what we call Sarosha, and it's often heard as a high-pitched electrical sound, although it can be heard as musical instruments on the different planes, and there's other sounds for it as well. And just when you're tuning into it, that's a really wonderful thing to do, because that is very balancing for you and gives you a great deal of protection. So don't worry, it's not tendonitis if you hear the sound current flowing through you when you're doing this exercise. You also might see a bright light, a white light, from the higher planes, or yellow light, or in the lower planes, there are different colors that you might see according to the planes, such as the astral has sort of a rosy red pink color. The causal plane, the plane where the Akashic records are kept, has a coppery color to it, orange or ochre in different parts of the plane. And then the mental plane is usually a blue, like the color of the sky. And additionally to that, the top of the mental plane is actually called the etheric plane, which is seen more as a lavender or purplish color. So these are the lower planes, the worlds of duality, where there's positive and negative. If you're traveling one of those planes and you'll see one of those colors, you'll know where you are. If you're traveling in the higher worlds, then you will see white or yellow light. And additionally, you might have a very vivid out-of-body experience, but as soon as you close your eyes, you are in Sahaji. So you don't have to worry about, I need to travel here or there. You will be traveling, but sometimes it's just more vivid than others, and as you get into control of it, you will be able to decide where you're going and what you're doing. So I'm just going to start the contemplation quickly now, and we're going to chant with you, and you can just close your eyes, relax, have your feet flat on the floor or crossed in Indian style and tower fashion, and put your attention on what's called the Tisra pill, that point right above the bridge of the nose, or you can use the crown chakra, which is that spot on the top of the head where the soul comes in when a baby is born, when soul comes into their body, and that's really the highest chakra. So I'm going to close my eyes, and yes, if you'd like to join me, you can do that as well, and we'll chant with you for a few moments. Which means may the blessings be. Shikanashi?
Yes, thank you very much for taking us through that contemplation. As Leslie had mentioned, we do that for 30 minutes each day, and what that does is it helps us gain this liberation that we're talking about through the daily practice. And that practice will get us through the lower planes that she was talking about. After said, it's vast, and so it's sometimes it's quite an undertaking. But the irony is the ancients have often talked about enlightenment can come in a flash, but then they weren't thorough sometimes in explanation. True enlightenment would be on the fifth plane and higher, the Sat Lok, the Atma Lok. There's a lot of names for it. But it's basically, in English, it's a soul plane. In higher Sanskrit, it's called the Atma Lok or Sat Lok, where the overlord there is Sat Nam. He's the first true god of the higher planes. And then people would say, well, is Akata polytheistic, having many gods? And in one sense of the word, it could be, but that doesn't mean there's not one true god that we call Akshar, which is central. It's like central with overlords on the various planes. So that's one way to help explain polytheism in monotheism. But there again, we're not here to get into discussions of arguments and who's this and who's that. But we do say that Akata is the most direct path and really the only path of liberation. Now, that's pretty much a turnoff for most people. That's why really only 1 in 100 can step onto the path, because nothing is a riddle to the ready soul. That soul that has worked its karma up to the point which now they can gain liberation in this lifetime or the next one is the nature of coming to the path of Akata and starting their Dharma life. Dharma life, I said, L-I-F-E, life. That means that when one steps upon the path, and again, that's a free membership and free books, and we don't charge any money. When one steps upon the path, their karma ceases at that point, and then they begin to work off the karma whilst they're on the path of Akata, which may take up to 30 years to get rid of the karma into mastery. Now, people say, well, that's a long time, but most of the primal karma is burnt off in the first couple of years. So that mostly is the dream states are stepped up, and there's a lot of activity in the dreams, because people would never survive physically if all the karma is worked out on the physical plane. You know, in other words, you can't go through 10 train wrecks in a physical lifetime, but on the inner planes, that could easily be done in a dream state in one night, something of that nature. But that's just an example in the idea of getting rid of imagery that have caused reincarnations in people's lifetimes. That's why we are reincarnated, because they haven't resolved the pictures or what is very real in terms of the imagery. Just like the physical world is an illusion of imagery around us, but it's very tangible. It's a very solid illusion, if you will. So we don't disrespect that physical plane. We're very responsible for it. So in other words, we're not saying clear that the physical world, like some people say, well, we want to get rid of all that. No, that's not the discussion. The discussion is being responsible for the lower planes, but also in control of them from the fifth plane in the sound current. Well, there's some really new information tonight, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
If I might interrupt, I did want to say that we have a series of talks that's ongoing, and this coming Tuesday is the third talk, and Sri Kadafji is going to be speaking. He's the speaker, obviously. He's the main speaker at this talk, and it's being held at Philadelphia Central Library on this coming Tuesday, August 9th at 6:30 p.m. So I'd like to invite everyone to that. And it's a free event, and everybody's welcome to it that's interested in meeting Sri Kadafji. It's a wonderful opportunity because he doesn't always give talks all the time. So this will be a great opportunity, and we'll be talking about attaining spiritual liberation. So if you're interested, this Tuesday, August 9th at 6:30 p.m. in room 108 at the Philadelphia Central Library, which is on 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. So it will be from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And please, by all means, if you're in the area or can get to the area, we invite you to be there. And additionally, I wanted to mention that if you want to review our website, akita.com, you can see that there are many books that you can download at no charge. There's the introductory book, which is a great place to start, as well as some of the deeper spiritual books as well. And there are also audios of Sri Kadafji that you can listen to. So there's many, many things available at no charge. And for those people who are interested in membership, you can certainly download an application at no charge. But we do require you to download the application for membership. And that helps you start progressing towards your initiation and attaining the three goals of Akita, which are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. So we've got about 7 minutes left, and I didn't want to take up all the time. Sri Kadafji, wasn't sure if I can just hand it over to you.
Well, I was going to mention also that the library, downtown library, if you get on the street there, you don't see a library. It's this huge Greco-Roman structure, a massive building, so it can be quite astonishing, because the big Greek pillars in front. So that's the library. If you're on the street, go, where's the library? You can turn around and see this massive structure takes up practically the entire city block. So you know, when you think of a quaint library, it's like some of those huge libraries that went around the world. It's pretty good sized building. But anyway, I just wanted to add that in there. Very, very nice marble structure. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that, because it's kind of fun when you first go there, because it's so huge.
It is. It's a beautiful building. I mean, it's very large. It's a really wonderful library.
Well, they have the Natural History Museum. There's a lot in Philadelphia. Is a really nice city for some of the architecture. But having said that, there's your physical plane, right? Part of it in the Earth plane, the Earth region. Mm-hmm. All right, so. Getting back to our subject of spirit, the ready soul, there are about 75 million ready souls in the earth area, and that means that these people are feverishly seeking the path. And they, like I had said earlier, nothing we say is a riddle to them. They understand exactly what we're talking about. And ironically, with this wonderful wisdom that we impart, only one out of 100 can really understand it. The other 99 just cannot get an attention on it and would safely have attention deficit disorder. And everyone has it a bit, but people do not want to admit that they have it severely. But anybody that's a non-ready soul really has ADD in a bad way. But that's the nature of attention, see? So the ones that are ready have an attention level, they can understand our wisdom. But the rest of everyone are they're on their way to another incarnation so they can find their way eventually. Because everyone's feverishly seeking for the Supreme Deity, but they just can't see it in this particular lifetime. So it's a lengthy conversation regarding that type of psychology. But at the same time, we're appealing to the ones who can get it, if you will, in more of a nomenclature type statement. And they in that way, we do the presentation. We present the message out there. And as we said, we're not really salesmen or pitchmen trying to make a living by taking people's money for selling a spiritual path. And I don't begrudge other groups that do that in one sense of the word, but in reality, when you look very closely, it's really the underlying monetary means for people to make their way. But that's our business. That's not what we do in ACTA, and why we give out a pure message of the idea of getting spiritual liberation to the ready soul. I mean, that's really the prime directive. It sounds like Star Trek, right? The prime directive of ACTA is to get out that message, that pure message, to the ready soul, again, to repeat that. And therefore, we do this each week to present to that listening soul, the one that may be able to hear it, and then take the next step of stepping onto the path. And as Leslie had said about ACTA.com, which is the website, we have an application that one fills out so that we can keep track of the membership that way. And like it's like a list of people. And then as they progress, they gain initiations. There's initiation for each one of the planes and things of that nature. That's more of an organizational thing. But from a theoretical standpoint, in terms of what we teach each week in the basic fundamentals, we want people to firstly, try to listen for that sound current within you. Everyone can hear it. It's like a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear. If you heard it when you were doing the huge chant earlier on, that's very good. If it's the first time you heard it, it may be a very exciting experience for one to hear their sound current. And maybe we've had people say to us many times that they've always heard this sound current, but they never really knew what it was, which is very interesting. And then when we explain to them what the sound current actually is, there's, again, another enlightenment situation of becoming aware, and that's a really grand experience for one. People often mention that to us, of having this really wonderful experience in the sound current. I had a student a few weeks ago who hadn't heard the sound current before, and when he heard it, he was really excited. It was like a really ecstatic experience for him, because that's real important, because when one hears a sound current, they realize that is their eternal self. That's the eternal soul that we always have. It doesn't merge into the great beyond or into the Supreme Deity. We always have our individuality in that sound current, so that's very important. How's our timing? I can only see,
we've got about 1 minute left, so I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for being with us this evening. Again, take a look at the website. Go to the Talk and Meet strategy on Tuesday at the library, if you can do that. And you're welcome to listen to any of the archives. There are hundreds of archives on this Blog Talk radio show on ACTA as well. And feel free to do any of the above. We welcome you to join us again next week. And with that, I would like to give Sri Kadavji the opportunity to close the show for the evening. Sri Kadavji?
Well, as the master raises his right hand, palm facing out, with the words, I am always with you, may the blessings be, Baraka B'Shad.